may miss a few Sundays, and then they listen to the tape. Say, you're saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be saying the same thing. Amen. We need to know this. We need I've got some good news for you this morning. You see, a lot of things that's being preached in the churches this morning, they're talking about politics. There's no good news there. Amen. They talk about economics. There's no good news there. Gas prices going up. Is that good news? No. Mm-mm. No. They are eliminating people's pensions. Is that good news? No. Right. The certain corporations are maneuvering to pay lower wages. Is that good news? No. So, you know, you on one end they're cutting off your money supply, and on the other end, you know, we've got the gas prices going up. We've got the heating bills soaring, and amen. They're taking away your health insurance. You know, those some of you who have retired, you know, with those pretty good health policies, they're dissipating. That's not good news. So we don't want to come here and talk about the political social end. Amen. Talk about social end. You know, the news is telling us that, you know, what that bird flu is on the way here. Amen. So everywhere you turn. So why would I come in here, amen, stand up here? It's fraudulent to stand up here and say I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm talking about none of that's good news. What is good news is our eternal relationship with God that transcends all of this. Amen. Oh my God. And it begins with the fact that you know that in spite of the things that are around you, you're safe. You're secure. Right. We sang that song, but we don't really mean it. Right. Amen. We're just as shaky as the world.
Right.
God's people. Come on. Y'all don't hear me this morning.
That's right.
Because we're looking in the same places they're looking in for security.
Right.
There's no security in anything outside of Christ this morning. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So I come this morning with good news. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, before creation, He did something spectacular and magnificent for you. And everything that's going on around you in manifestation, amen, it's just incidents on the way to the manifestation of that which you already are. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
This is why we talk about regeneration. Because it expresses who you are. That you have received the nature of God. What He has done for you. We must understand. Must understand these things. New birth, they call it. It's actually the word be translated again, birth.
That's it.
You've been there.
Right.
Oh, my God. You haven't been there in manifestation. Mm-hmm. Amen. But actualization has to be distinguished from manifestation.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Actualization is what is. Mm-hmm. Manifestation is the revelation of it. Oh, my God.
Glory.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Glory to God.
So we just continue, amen, to speak about the good things, amen, that the stock market can't touch, huh? Oh, my God, hallelujah. And famine can't touch, amen, and pestilence can't touch, amen, and the events of the world can't touch, amen, and politics has no influence on it. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I got good news this morning. Amen. As we focus on the essence of our salvation. Now, what we have done and what we have been conveying is that the Lord chose you, He elected you, He sanctified you. Mm-hmm. He positioned you in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. He gave you the nature of God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And you are complete yes. in Him, yes. not on the way to being complete. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is not working on you. Mm-hmm. You are complete in Him. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let me clarify this. Amen. What we are saying is the essence of who you really are. Yeah. That is the new man positioned in Christ.
Right.
It is a past completed, amen, fact. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm. And the manifestation of it
mm-hmm. glory to God.
Is the subject of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Gospel is the testimony of it.
Testimony.
The gospel speaks about manifestation and gives information in our gospel concerning what He has done.
Done.
Amen. And it is the manifestation of the eternal work of God. Amen. And it's a testimony of how God has worked it out. Amen. In manifesting mm-hmm. His goodness, His love, and His mercy mm-hmm. in the sphere of time. Mm-hmm. But it's all traced back to His eternal, amen, actualization of it in eternity.
Right.
He began it in eternity.
Yes,
it began there. Mm-hmm. And time does not interrupt mm-hmm. eternity.
Right.
We've been taught that we have eternity past, we have time, and then we have eternity future. Amen. That is not correct.
Right.
Amen. Eternity hasn't gone anywhere.
Nowhere.
Amen. Because for eternity to go somewhere, then your place in Christ has to go somewhere, amen, and be in storage. Mm-hmm. But it is a past completed action, mm-hmm. amen, and it is a fight, mm-hmm. amen. And so the manifestation of those things, of these things that are occurring, amen, and the testimony of even, amen, how God has worked it out from the standpoint of the fact that He has sequenced the revelation of it mm-hmm. to us, mm-hmm. amen, the fact still remains, yes. amen, that you, amen, are solidly entrenched in Christ,
yes, sir.
Amen, and no creature, this is why Paul said, I'm persuaded,
yes.
not to, no creature, even death and life, principalities and power, nothing, can you say nothing?
Yes.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Oh my God. So we stand here to talk about salvation.
Right.
Amen. Regardless right. of what the stock market's doing, amen, the happenings, amen, transcend above what's happened, amen, in the natural physical sphere.
Glory.
And so, in looking at salvation, we'd like to call attention to the difference between the fact that you are in Him and the fact you as a creature in the capsule of time.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the capsule of time, amen, it is arranged in sequences.
Mm-hmm.
Things,
mm-hmm.
amen, planned and they are sequenced.
Right.
Amen. One after the other.
Right.
But we get that mixed up.
Come on.
We get that mixed up with the fact of what God has already done.
All right.
And so what is being preached today mm-hmm. is that in most ministers and circles, that you must repent, mm-hmm. amen, and then believe. And then also these are volitional acts,
mm-hmm.
acts that you have to make up your mind to do. Amen. And as we have said, the Greek word metanoio is translated repentance. It simply means a change of mind, a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A change. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, the Lord spoke of the son who said, I won't go, and then he repented. Jesus said he would go.
Mm-hmm.
We got this as some type transitional act on our part that brings us into approval of God. Amen. And we have to get this straight, amen, in our quest, our efforts, amen, to bring to understanding the solidity and the security of being in Christ, amen. We must take out any formula that plugs in any input on your part.
Right.
Yes.
And so this is what we are striving to do, amen, that you don't go from an unregenerated person to a regenerated person because, amen, of something you did to cause you, amen, to be transferred, amen, from the child of wrath, amen, to the child of mercy, amen. From the beginning, amen, God knew you. He foreknew you in eternity, amen. I said to you this morning, my friend, when you understand eternal and workings of God, you will know and understand that actualization-wise, you are never in jeopardy.
Never. Never.
You thought you were.
Yeah.
Amen. But our gospel lets you know that you are never, amen, in danger of hell, in danger of condemnation, in danger of being separated from him.
Glory to God.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Thank you. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it.
So in that sense, we're not here to cause any discord among God's people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to pick a fight.
Mm-mm.
But we are here to set the record straight scripturally as to what is scriptural and what is unscriptural.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Now, the reception of salvation, or receiving salvation, or being saved, does not engender, amen, God's consideration of whether you repented or not. Amen. And also, further than that, it cannot be genuinely produced at the will of men. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. If you're thinking one way in, and you, if you were thinking one way at one time, and now you are thinking differently, amen. It is God that has changed your mind. It is God who has revealed it. You cannot know the things of God unless, amen, he has decreed it. And it is his purpose to reveal himself unto you. So salvation, when salvation is presented on the basis of your human input, it becomes a form of fatalism. Amen. And it is responsible for the doubt and the fear.
Right.
Listen to me. The confusion and despair.
Right.
Amen. And God's people feeling, amen, so insecure.
Yes.
Amen. Because deep down inside, you know if you have to supply something, if you have to input something, if something is dependent upon you, that thing is very shaky.
Woo.
Oh, hallelujah. Mm. Yes.
Know it. Oh my God. Here is the underlying fact. Your turn to Christ was a predetermined act in eternity. Repenting, changing, all are in the manifestation mode. In the sphere of time.
Come on.
It can't possibly be a requisite or requirement for something that went down in eternity.
All right.
But even as we look at this thing of repenting, amen, it is not a sacrament.
Mm-mm.
It is not something that you do.
Mm-mm.
That causes you to receive favor in relationship to it.
Right.
So let us look at the subjects of repenting and believing. Starting on page 4 here, the top, amen, those who stress the requirement of believing and repenting inadvertently disclose that in their conception they are focusing on the problems of personal sin.
All right.
That this is what enters into salvation. Mm-hmm. But it is in fact the sin nature, that has caused the enmity and separation.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the sin nature, nor, listen to me, the sin nature nor the acts of sin are legitimate subjects as it relates to repentance or believing. Salvation contemplates many vast issues, and the consideration of personal sins, though it is included, is but a small portion of the whole. Men are confused when they attempt to blend or amalgamate. And this is where the problem comes. We have the kingdom gospel. We have the gospel of the grace of God.
Right.
We're trying to mix them and mash them.
Right.
Amen. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. For in such passages of scripture, they're construed as drafted proof, amen, that we must do certain things in order to be saved. Amen. From this erroneous exegesis, Acts chapter 28, verse 18. Listen. Amen. Not realizing and understanding dispensational applications.
All right.
Amen. You will come out of that and you think you are enumerating various things and purporting them to be manifestly wrought by those that have received salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That these are the things that you do that spur the saving power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's turn to that.
Got it.
All right. First, read from the King James. Amen. And we're not picking on the King James. All the translations, in fact, even all the documents are copies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they are copies of copies, the manuscripts. Amen. And so we depend upon the Holy Spirit to do the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But as we look at them and we exegete and we compare historically the document, first of all, to see what covenant we're in.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
Then, amen, we contextualize it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Many times things are given as scriptures speaking of things that people must do to be saved, when what they were talking about wasn't salvation at all. Amen. So it must be contextualized.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Brother Deacon, oh my God, look at that clock. Let me just give the background here. Here Paul, amen, is coming for, amen, king, and he is testifying to him, and he is giving testimony of manifestation of what happened to him on the road to Damascus. Amen. Why don't you start at in verse 13.
Acts chapter 26,
mm-hmm.
beginning at verse 13. King James. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were all fallen to the earth.
So it didn't just knock Paul down. Amen. The whole company went down. Huh?
Yes.
All right. But
I heard a voice speaking unto me.
Now, voice speaking unto me. Paul was the only one that heard the voice, though.
That's it.
They knew something was going on, but they didn't know what it was.
Right.
Amen. Read.
And saying in the Hebrew tongue,
mm-hmm.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Mm-hmm.
It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Oh, my God.
And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
Mm-hmm.
But rise and stand upon thy feet,
mm-hmm.
for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose,
mm-hmm.
to make thee a minister and a witness,
mm-hmm.
both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.
Verse 17.
Delivering thee from the people,
mm-hmm.
and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee,
mm-hmm.
to open their eyes.
Now that's verse 18. To open the eyes.
And to turn them from darkness to light.
To turn them from darkness to light.
And from the power of Satan unto God.
And from the power of Satan, you see, and this is why we got to get to the Greek here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's, just finish reading it. Amen. From the power of Satan unto God, what?
That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me.
Let's quickly go to the Greek. Start in verse 16, Brother Deacon. Now, I want you to read this kind of slow. And,
right.
of course, if it takes us, a couple of hours to get through this, I don't have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you don't get anything else, you gotta get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a clear-cut understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We need, amen, to know that we are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. We need to know that we are safe.
Safe.
You are on one little tiny planet in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One little small dot.
Right.
That's what Earth is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's arranged out there, and it's rotated certain degrees, and it's moving around its axis.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of other stuff out there. They call it junk.
Right.
Meteors and comets, and they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take but one large one to hit the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what we're saying. It doesn't even have to cause trouble. It doesn't have to really impact it, to destroy it.
Right.
If the Earth, if it was just knocked off just a few degrees,
right.
The whole real estate,
mm-hmm.
yes.
The center of gravity,
yes, sir.
Mountains would fall,
mm-hmm.
oceans would rise.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pastor, why are you saying all of this? Because I'm praying that God's people don't look around at anything on this earth and feel secure about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your security is in Christ.
In Christ.
This is why salvation, there is no subject that's as important as salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Glory. Thank God.
Your salvation is more important than your job. Someone said, oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's more important than your home.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank God it's more important than your pension, because you might not have one by the time to get through.
Absolutely.
Why am I saying this? Yeah, I'm praying that God's people get out of this thing of looking at anything
mm-hmm.
on the basis of feeling secure in it
mm-hmm.
outside of Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation. And then we have to understand that salvation is so secure, it's foolproof from being tampered with. And to do this, we have to, amen, we have to stand, amen, and we have to militate against the doctrines that teach, amen, that you, amen, as a, oh my God, as a depraved human being, amen, are being relied upon, in any aspect of it.
Preach it, preach it. Hallelujah.
It's not secure. If there is any input that is required from us. This is why we go back to these scriptures that they have used to teach us, amen, that God is dependent upon us to do something in order for the transaction, amen, to be actualized.
Yes.
And we must take it all out of time and put it in the secure sphere of eternity. Amen. All right, everybody, those of you, have your Greek Koinonia. Have that Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Say amen. Those that don't have it, follow along. All right, Brother Dick, and read.
Acts 26:16 from the Koinonia Greek version. But rise thou up.
You know, amen. I won't deal with this here, but in perfecting class today, we're gonna go through this. Amen.
All right.
This was all prearranged.
Yes,
here the grammar is telling us.
Yes,
but it's the way it's stated here.
But rise thou up.
Rise.
And stand on the feet of thee.
Stand on the feet.
For this purpose
what?
For I appeared to thee.
Uh-huh.
To appoint thee an attendant and a witness.
That is, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is an aorist infinitive. Look at it. That is, what is an infinitive? That is a verbal what?
Now.
Verbal now. And when you look at the declension, it's aorist. Now, we express an infinitive. We put the word to there. Anytime you said to before, most of the time we think of something that is to be done.
Right.
So basically, if I was just going to break that down, and I know we don't talk this way, but to appoint, have an appointed.
Right.
And Paul backs that thing up and says, hey man, I was appointed from my mother's womb in another place. That was no accident. All right, read.
To appoint thee an attendant and a witness of the things both which thou sawest me of the things and which I will appear to thee.
Oh my God. All right, keep reading.
All right.
We'll deal with this and perfect in this afternoon.
Yes.
Read.
Delivering thee from the people and from the nations
to
whom I send thee
to
open eyes of them.
Now look then, verse 17. Of whom I send thee to do what? Verse 18.
To open eyes of them.
Mm-hmm.
To turn from darkness to light.
Mm-hmm.
And from the authority of Satan to God.
Mm-hmm.
To receive them forgiveness of sins.
All of these are aorist infinitives.
Yes.
These were foregone conclusions. The day you were saved was actually the manifestation of your salvation. It wasn't about you repenting, calling on the name of God, saying have mercy, or making a choice. Listen, if God hasn't decreed it in eternity, it doesn't happen in time.
Don't go down.
And if it happens in time, I'm using the affirmation now. Yes. If it happens in time, mm-hmm. it's because it was decreed in eternity.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Your salvation is no accident.
That's mm-hmm.
it. It is secure because you never had. I started to say the people in the South said a blame thing to do with it. You were not in it.
That's right. That's right.
It's not about you. All you can do is mess that thing up.
That's it.
Give me about 10 minutes, and I see now we at least need 2 hours on this.
Mm-hmm.
As we look here at the second paragraph, page 4. And focusing in on the relationship of repentance to covenants. It is of note that the term covenant is broad in its implicational emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our problem. We're looking at Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we're Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not.
No.
We're looking at God's contract with Israel and Judah. And none of us sitting up here are crazy enough to think that we're going to get the benefits of a contract that doesn't have our name on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean in the natural sphere. You know, somebody has a contract and from it they're going to get $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get too excited about that unless your name is on that contract.
That's it.
Huh? No. But the contract is John Williams. I'm just calling the name. I don't think we have any John Williams in here. He said, huh, I'm going to get a piece of this. My name is John Williams. You're not. No, you're not. You won't get a dime. What you need to do is to file a contract that your name is on. We're looking at Israel. We're saying we're Israel. We're saying we're spiritual Israel. We're looking at Israel's contract.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
We're looking at the new covenant.
Yes, yes, yes.
That has nothing to do with you.
Nothing.
Your contract is the grace contract.
Grace covenant.
You got to look at that information that was hid from generations and now is revealed in the volume of truth, the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And this is why we're stopping and spending so much time and going real slow this time in dealing with dispensations and covenants.
Right.
If you don't divide this Bible,
yes, sir.
If you don't understand, amen, when it refers to you and when it does not refer to you,
mm-hmm.
you're just a mixed up, confused person.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now God has given us more. Can you say more?
More.
But you got to look into your own contract.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Israel is under Jehovah's unalterable contract. And the old, that is the Mosaic law, and the new covenants.
Right.
New covenant. It's in Jeremiah 31. Amen. The implementation of that covenant is what the transactions and the testimonies and the accounts in the Gospels are about.
Mm-hmm.
That is the implementation of what was promised to Abraham.
Right.
Here many years later, John the Baptist comes and he says, it's at hand. Fellas, it's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus comes.
Then Jesus came.
He says, I am.
That's right.
But as John writes, he came into his own.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of those who were identified with Jesus in the flesh.
Right.
That's not us.
No.
We don't identify with Jesus in the flesh.
No.
Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:17 said, "Know we what?
No man after the flesh."
That's 16.
16. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not
though we have known him, we don't know him.
No more that way.
No more. You don't know him after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He's not your kingdom in the flesh. Huh? You're not Israel. You're not under that contract. Amen. To him, he's Emmanuel, God with them. In us, he is Christ in us,
yes.
The hope of glory.
Yes.
We are positioned in him.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the statement here is Israel is under these contracts, yet the body of Christ is the object of another.
Mm-hmm.
As the grace church.
Amen.
Composed of all believers of the present age, who are now, everybody said now.
Now.
Who are also now the objects of the grace covenants made in Christ's blood. As we reference 1 Corinthians 11 and 25. Now, what is a covenant? What is a contract? Covenant implies relationship. It's a contract. Because it secures a right relationship in God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not in the new under the new contract, but we're under the grace contract.
Right, right.
In fact, you've got a better contract.
Better.
Oh my God.
Better. Better. Much better.
Glory.
Mm-hmm.
You had a contract. There was a contract laying on the table. Here's a contract for $10,000. Here's a contract for $1 million. I don't think anybody in here would reach and grab the $10,000 contract.
Oh,
it's a good contract. I mean, it's good, $10,000. I wish I had $10,000 right now. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hardly. Mm-hmm.
But we're fighting, we're screaming, we're hollering and saying, we are Israel. We are spiritual Israel. We are not spiritual Israel. What's the importance of that? The importance of that, when you start talking about repenting,
mm-hmm.
believing, that had nothing to do with you. Yeah. Do you repent? In the sense of the true word, which means change of mind? Absolutely. No man can come into the revelation of this and not be changed.
Right, right.
But the doctrine of repentance,
right.
which is to Israel, mm-hmm. says, amen, as Peter on the day of Pentecost said, ye men of Judah,
yeah.
that's who the new contract was with.
Yeah.
Ye men of Israel,
yeah.
that's who the new contract was with.
Right.
Change from the law and embrace Christ.
Right.
According to Jeremiah 31, as, amen,
yeah.
when it was written on stones that you cannot do this day through Christ, it is written in your heart.
Right.
Oh. That's not you. That's
not,
still not you. He has some better for you.
Right.
To you, he said you were chosen.
Yes.
And elected in him.
Yes.
Before
yes.
creation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a better contract.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't have to change from anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you don't. You never had a prior relationship that you had to change from.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a thing to repent from.
Right.
You were not under the law. You were not covered under the Mosaic contract.
Jesus.
Mm. So the message on the day of Pentecost, I know they're going to come against us, and I don't care. I'm not the least bit intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you're going to come, amen, and challenge it, amen, we put ours in writing. Put yours in writing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I don't mean just an opinion. Opinions aren't worth anything.
Come on here. Come on here.
What does the scripture teach?
Right.
Thank God.
What is the scripture saying?
Yeah.
Let me wind this up. Give me 5 minutes and I'm out of here today.
Hallelujah.
So we're under the grace contract.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives us our right relationship of God.
Mm-hmm.
A covenant, amen, implies relationship, secures a right relationship, and matters belonging within the bounds of the covenant.
That's right.
You have to look at what's in the contract.
That's right.
This is why we cannot go back into Matthew, Mark, mm-hmm. Luke, and John,
mm-hmm.
amen, and the early portions of Acts and say this is what we must do.
Mm-hmm.
the men of Judah and the men of Israel,
right.
Those who the new contract, amen, applies to,
right.
Those, amen, who had killed the prophets, and mm-hmm. none of that was, they're the ones, after having received the information and the message, they're the ones that ask the question, mm-hmm. What must we do? That is,
right.
What must they do?
Right.
Don't go into Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
It's not talking to you.
None. Amen.
A covenant that is unconditional, mm-hmm. and of course the new covenant and the grace covenant are, it's not affected by any human elements. Nor is it changeable even by God himself.
Mm-hmm.
However, the stipulations of a covenant and the experience of his blessings are different things.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, as I close with this today. In the case of Israel, it is possible to be under the provisions of an unconditional covenant and fail for the time being to enjoy his blessings due to the manifested workings of God's eternal purpose. Here we look at Romans chapter 11, amen, and they have not obtained it, amen, to this day. Their eyes are blinded. Oh, my God, hallelujah. But the covenant stands, and we rejoice for them. In this instance, Israel's separation, which caused by divinely imposed blindness,
mm-hmm.
has cast a limitation upon the enjoyment of their covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the covenant, being unchangeable, still abides as the issue becomes not the remaking of the covenant,
mm-hmm.
but the confirmation of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Again, look at Romans 11:26. In the case of elect Jews and Gentiles, now we're talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
Elect Jews and Gentiles, son positioned in the body of Christ.
Body of
Christ. That's us.
Okay.
The grace covenant. The grace, everybody said the grace contract.
Grace contract.
Is my contract.
Is my contract.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
The grace contract.
Mm-hmm.
Is unencumbered in its unconditional applications.
Mm-hmm.
There are no conditions of anything in our covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do something or do anything because it's already done. It was done in eternity. Hear me this morning. Now that it has been revealed in the
present
grace dispensation,
mm-hmm.
therefore follows that for those covered in respect to covenants, is automatically instituted within them divine dealings with specific provisions,
right.
evincing or evidencing the manifestation of repentance and belief, yes, amen. Of course, that's all testimony there, amen. But it is not for something to get something,
mm-hmm.
amen.
Mm-hmm.
It is the manifestation of something. Mm-hmm. Even in the relationship of the Mosaic Law,
yes.
a covenant, repentance expressed by confession to God, amen. David, amen, didn't pray for salvation.
Right.
To be restored. But he prayed for the restoration, according to Psalm 51:12, for the restoration of his joy.
My God, Jesus.
He was concerned about his fellowship, amen, not his position.
Mm-hmm.
In the new covenant, it is joy and fellowship which confession restores to the believer. When Christ came offering himself to Israel as their Messiah and announcing that kingdom was at hand, he and John and all of the other kingdom apostles called upon Israel to repent, to change mind in preparation for the prophet kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There was no appeal concerning salvation induced by the formation. You see, they were already under a covenant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Amen. It was to come to the realization that the old covenant was never intended to be a testimony of your righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
there was no appeal concerning salvation induced by the formation covenants, but it was restoration by and through their change of mind. Amen. Which would lead them, this is manifestation wise, to forsake their sins by the acknowledgement of their Messiah in lieu of dependence upon compliance with the law for righteousness. You look in Matthew 10 and 6, you see that, and then Paul confirms it in Romans 10 and 3. Amen. Applications of these appeals were made to covenant Jews concerning adjustments to the old covenant. Amen. But when this is confused and with the covenant of grace, our contract as Gentiles, amen. Remember, according to Ephesians 2 and 12, we were strangers. We were alienated. We were not a part of that. That's a serious error indeed, amen, to conjecture such. Reference made to repentance, finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, and we'll touch on that. It was not talking about the acquisition of salvation there. Amen. He was speaking about those whose actions, amen, were in testimony counter to that which they were. Amen. It means a change of mind, a change doing the thing that you shouldn't do. Amen. Especially something as heinous as what Paul was dealing with. Amen. My God, we'll deal with this next week, but the absence of the man for salvation is without question evidence in the grace contract. In your contract, there's nothing there, amen, that's a condition dependent upon you to fill in the blanks. Amen. Someone said that God made a contract, and it's up to you to write it, but he left blank names, and then you come, amen, and by repenting and believing, you write your name in the no such thing.
Oh, Lord help us.
No such thing.
Lord help us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My Lord.
Glory.
He foreknew you.
Thank you.
So your name was already there.
Yes.
He predestinated you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And foreordained you.
My God.
So your name was already there.
Yes.
And he did both of those in eternity.
Thank God.
He called you, so your name was already there.
Yes.
He justified you, so your name was already there. Dig this, he glorified you, so your name always had been there and there for the Adians. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. Already.
Why are we saying this? Why are we saying this? As I say, as you look in the news and you see the things that occur, that are occurring, things that are going on. Things are pretty shaky, aren't they, huh? You could almost get depressed looking at the news. Huh? Listen,
right.
Reading the paper,
yes.
Amen, and seeing, look like, there's trouble in the camp, there's trouble on earth, there's trouble everywhere, amen. Nothing is secure. Oh my God, everything seems to stand incredible, but that's not you. Amen. Don't look at the paper. Look at your contract.
Glory to God.
And that's what we come to talk about.
Oh, glory.
Every time we come to you, we're talking about your contract. Because it's in the contract that you are safe and secure from all alarm. Oh, Christ. Can you say Christ? The solid rock I stand. Oh, can you say all? Can you say all? All on the ground is sacred sand. Stand, our God, in the security and the safety of the only thing that you can count on, and that is your contract.
Glory
we'll continue next week. God bless you.
Hallelujah.